Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spiritual journey. This remarkable series has become a beacon of inspiration, touching the lives of millions of Christians worldwide, from faith-building messages to practical guidance and navigating spiritual matters. The Faith Series is a wellspring of blessing designed to ignite your faith and deepen your relationship with God.
What I'm talking about tonight is seeing things through the Holy Spirit's eyes. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the gift of discernment, which is a wonderful gift that was given to the body of Christ. I'm talking about the responsibility that every single one of us have to be discerning. I'm talking about being able to find your footing in a world that is filled with chaos. You are inundated every single day with news reports, with sermon clips, with all sorts of information, with all kinds of media formats, social media, television, radio, magazines, billboards. There are messages screaming at you from all different angles, and we can hear all sorts of different opinions on all sorts of different topics. I can say something as simple as, today is a blessed day, and I'll start a debate on Facebook. Well, Brother David, not for everyone is it blessed. The disobedient are under the wrath of God. Or Brother David, you forgot to mention that sometimes there's persecution. Or Brother David, what about those who are struggling right now? How could you say that? You didn't even consider where they're coming from at this point. For everything that you say, there will be a disagreement. For everything that you say, someone will point out something that you didn't say. If I release a teaching on healing, they'll say, well, it's not all about healing. You need to preach salvation. If I preach salvation, they'll say, what good is it to teach them how to be saved if you're not teaching them how to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? If I teach them how to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, some will say, well, Brother David, you forgot to mention that they need to go to a local church. And no matter what you say, there will be someone who contradicts it. No matter what you say, there will be someone who points out something that you missed. No matter what you say, there will be someone who's offended and bothered. This is why we have to learn to truly discern what God is saying in the midst of chaotic times. The world is filled with messages, philosophies, truths that they believe are actually the truth. Even the church is divided on many issues. People make decisions based on fear, based on emotion, based on intellect alone. And while God did give us a sense of wisdom, and while God did give us emotions, and God did give us an intellect, ultimately everything that we decide as believers must be based on the Word. So, number one, if you want to sharpen your spiritual discernment and see into the Spirit, number one, you have to understand how the Word and the Spirit work together. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Even at the very beginning, we see the working of the Holy Spirit with the Word. God spoke and the Spirit moved. The Spirit hovered above, the scripture says, hovered above the face of the deep. Now that word hovered in the Hebrew actually means fluttered or brooded, like a bird would brood. It's describing the heavenly dove who is the Holy Spirit. And just as a dove will incubate its eggs so that they hatch, so the Holy Spirit incubates the Word. God the Father speaks. The Holy Spirit hovers. The Word and the Spirit work together. Now, it's very important that we understand this dynamic, because we actually can be out of balance if we don't understand that God, if we don't understand, God will always move through the Word and the Spirit together. Now, something we do in church culture is we celebrate the throwing away of the notes. We celebrate when there isn't any word declared. We'll say things like, oh my goodness, the service was so powerful. He came out or she came out and they didn't even preach. They just got right to the power. My friend, I'm going to be honest with you. If someone demonstrates the power without first being grounded in the Word, you don't have the gospel, you have charismatic witchcraft. If someone doesn't present the Word, it's because it's not about the Word, it's about them and their gift. Now, this is a general... To be religious about it, we would have to break it down by percentage. Well, what percentage of the service needs to be the Word, and what percentage of the service needs to be prayer? That's religion. You don't want to get too far into that. I'm saying in principle that the Word has to be the foundation for the move of the Holy Spirit. The Word isn't blocking the Holy Spirit from moving. The Holy Spirit moves on the Word. Now, there will be some instances where the Holy Spirit comes in and the notes get thrown away. But we must get out of this mindset. We must be broken free from this idea that the less of the Word there is, the more the Holy Spirit moves. The Word of God goes forth like a foundation. The Word of God is the substance with which the Holy Spirit creates. The Word of God is breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. You've seen it time and time again, where someone will come to a church service, they'll be prayed for, the power of God will come on them, they'll fall out, shake under the power, they get up off the floor, and then they go live like the devil. Why is that? It's because they weren't people of the Word. And because they weren't people of the Word, there was nothing for the Holy Spirit to breathe on. So they come and they get emotional. They come and they'll feel the power of God on their physical being. They may experience a true touch of His power, but the Holy Spirit had no word to breathe upon. Think about what happened with Saul before he became Paul the Apostle. One encounter with the Spirit of Jesus, and suddenly everything he had learned about the law came to life. How did he suddenly have a revelation of the gospel? How did he suddenly have revelation on biblical prophecy concerning the person of Jesus? It was because he had known the Word, he just never knew the Spirit. He had received the Word, he filled himself with it, became puffed up in his own knowledge, prideful because of his intellect, but it wasn't until the Spirit breathed on the Word that was in him that transformation came, and his name was changed from Saul to Paul. Transformation comes, truth comes, a biblical foundation comes when we understand the Word and the Spirit working together. False doctrines are heavily based on the Word. Oh man, I know some people who can run circles around you with the Bible, but they're teaching ungodly things. Think about these things in history that we hear about these cult leaders who drive people to mass suicides, who twist the Word for their own sexual pleasure, who draw people in to be a part of cults and heresy and doctrines of devils. How did they do it? They knew the Word. In fact, some cult leaders know the Word better than some pastors. That's how they're able to be so persuasive, because they align themselves with the authority of the Word, twisting the Word, and those who are ignorant of the Word can't even see what's happening. So false doctrines are heavily based on the Word. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe them. That's what they do with rat poison. A lot of food, a little bit of poison. A lot of truth with a little bit of deception. That's why we have to stay firm on the Word, because the moment we step off of that, we step into error. So false doctrines are heavily based on the Word, but they are twisted because they lack the Spirit. In the same way, false signs are of a false spirit, but they lack the basis of the Word. So the Word and the Spirit are needed in a move of the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit are crucial. So let's be rid of this notion, oh, throw the notes out and just let the Holy Spirit move. It's by the Word that the Holy Spirit moves. It's by the Word that the foundation is laid, the stage is set for the entry of the glory of God. When Jesus is magnified, the power of the Holy Spirit is intensified. When Jesus is magnified, the power of the Holy Spirit is intensified. Jesus is the Word. When you declare the Word, you are declaring the substance of Christ. John 6 tells us that that Word is more than just spoken word. That Word is Spirit and truth. So we must be firmly established in both the Word and the Spirit. That's number one. You want to sharpen your spiritual discernment. Number one, you have to understand the dynamics between the Word and the Spirit, and you need both. Biblical balance and true power. Number two, you must know and submit to the authority of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 say, All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So here we see that the Word is the authority. The Word is the finality. The Word is the foundation. There is no higher authority than the Word of God. Now, we say that. It's almost a church cliche. We believe the Word, we believe the Word, we believe the Word. How can you believe the Word if you don't know the Word? I believe the Word, I believe the Word. When was the last time the Word of God corrected something you believe? Really ask yourself that. When was the last time the Word of God corrected something that I believed? Because if the Word of God always agrees with you, it's probably because you're forcing your beliefs into the Word rather than using the Word to form your beliefs. Word of God is final authority, highest authority. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. This generation, sadly, and this is not something I'm saying from a place of anger or from a place of arrogance, my heart is broken for the fact that at least in America, this generation suffers from word deficiency. We just don't know the Word. We just aren't firmly established in the Word. The Instagram reel of the day has replaced devotion to study of God's Word. Tweetable quotes have replaced time in God's Word. Netflix series and YouTube binging have replaced time in God's Word. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The Word creates boundaries. And without boundaries, it's impossible to build. If you were to build a structure and you laid a foundation, and that foundation didn't have a shape that was definite, a surface that was even, then as you begin to build, you would find that the structure would fall. You see, we think that freedom is throwing off all restraints and rules. But true freedom is found within the boundaries of Scripture. We have to stop adding to the Word and creating our own ideas, especially when it comes to spiritual matters, especially when it comes to the spiritual realm. We add so much to the Word, and we do our best to cram it in there. Why? Because that's what I was taught, or that's what I experienced, or that's what I believed it was, or that's what I want it to be, or that's what makes me feel special. When in fact, we ought to humble ourselves before the Word of God and say, if there's anything in that Word that contradicts anything in me, then that which is in me will bow to the authority of God's Word. The Bible is not a fortune cookie. It's not up for however you want it to be that day. Well, we say things like, well, that portion of Scripture, yeah, I get that it means that to you, but you know, to me, this is what it means. Do you realize that when the Holy Spirit inspired the Scripture, He inspired the writers with actual intention, with an actual message, with actual truth He wanted to communicate? And what do? We take the stories of Scripture and just kind of make up anything we want from it. I'll give you an example. The book of Acts, we read of a man who fell asleep during a sermon. He fell out of a window, died on the road, and then he was raised from the dead. You know how many sermons I've heard on that text? Do you know what it's about? It's about a church account, a historical narrative that was about God's power over resurrection or over death through resurrection. Do you know what we make it about? I heard it preached so many different ways. Well, you know, the guy fell out the window because he had one foot in the world and one foot in the church. So this portion is talking about lukewarmness. That's what it means to me. Or I've heard it said, well, you know, that represents your dreams. And it may have fallen a long distance. And you may feel like, God, it's impossible for me to accomplish these dreams. And God's going to come and resurrect your hopes and dreams. I'm thinking, that's not even what it says. They say, well, that's what I got out of it. People go, oh man, I never saw that before. I'm saying, that's because it was never there. Why do we do this? Well, spiritual laziness is one of them. Because we don't want to study to get actual truth. We just kind of, let's slap a truth on that. That seems like a good allegory. The other is because we do have our own preferences that we would rather believe. We do have certain lenses through which we see the world. People use the Word like a thermostat when they should use it as a thermometer. See, a thermostat changes the temperature. A thermometer measures it. We try to get the Word and use it to adjust to our comfort, when the Word is actually a thermometer that tells you what temperature you are. We try to use it to write when we should use it to learn. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Here Jesus is talking about building your life on the foundation of His Word. So many times we build on other things. We build on church traditions. We build on what our family taught us. We build on our preferences and the way that we see the world. Society has already lost its reverence for the Word. And the church is losing it too. There's a movement happening now called the Deconstruction Movement. And my heart is broken for these individuals who have found themselves trapped in the snares of their own pride and rebellion. My heart is broken for them. Because the idea is that, well, maybe we need to rethink what we believe about the Word. Now, some will say that's not the case, but if you dig into this for any length of time, you will find that that's ultimately what it is. It's Christians basically saying, well, maybe the Word of God isn't the final authority. And they try to take the Word and make it more palatable for the worldly culture that rages against the truth. That's happening. In our church, in this world, that's happening. And I'm talking about the church at large. People are falling away from the faith. People are denying the truth of God's Word. Why? Because the further that culture gets from truth, the more offended it is by truth. It's not that we're now discovering that everything the Bible teaches was wrong and we're just realizing that now. Oh my goodness, how could we have been so caveman-like? How could we have been such Neanderthals to believe these truths? What's actually happening is that society is slipping further and further into darkness. And the further and further they go in darkness, the more irritated they become by light. So it's not that we need to readjust the Word. We need to reaffirm the Word and stand by it. It's time to stand by the Word. And when you stand for the Word, there will be resistance, believe me. Always resistance to the truth. The most truthful messages I preach are the most controversial. Now, I'm not trying to be controversial. We shouldn't get joy out of upsetting people. We're not being antagonistic for the fun of it. That's not at all the spirit of Jesus. But we declare the truth despite offending people. We declare the truth despite rocking the boat, stirring the waters. Atheists don't like what I have to say. People in the world don't like what I have to say. Religious Christians don't like what I have to say. Because it's based on the Word, and you will stir the waters. But preach that truth anyway. Know the authority and bow to the authority of God's Word. Embrace that. That's what you have to do if you want to be truly discerning. Because the moment you step off the authority of God's Word, the moment you step away from that, now you've left a firm foundation and you're left trying to feel around in the darkness by your own understanding. What seems right to you. I can't tell you how many times I've taught something and believers go, this doesn't sit right with my spirit. I say, really, it doesn't sit right with your spirit, or it wasn't what you were taught. Or it doesn't sit right with your preferences. We all have to bow before the Word. We all have to humble ourselves to this authority. Number three, if you want to sharpen your spiritual discernment, let me just recap real quick. Number one, you have to understand the dynamic between the Word and the Spirit. So understand the Word and Spirit. Number two, you have to know and submit to the authority of God's Word. And number three, you have to understand how the Holy Spirit speaks. Now, this is going to be challenging to religious paradigms. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a fine line to walk. You must see through the lens of Scripture and then walk by the leading of the Spirit. See through the lens of Scripture and then walk by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how many times I asked, is this the Holy Spirit? Or is this just me? And that's a difficult thing to discern. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, Verse 12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Watch this now. Cutting between soul and spirit. Between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and intents. So how can you tell between your emotions, which is soul, your mind, which is soul, your intellect, which is soul, your preferences, which are of the soul? How can you tell between the soul and the spirit? Well, the word tells us. The scripture says that the word divides clearly between soul and spirit. Now, I used to walk around in religious torment. When I first got saved, there was a flow to my spirituality. Many of you know my testimony. There are so many ups and downs to my testimony. It's like all of these spiritual struggles are what became teachings. But you know, there was a season in my life where everything I did was out of legalism. It got so bad that I would open my closet and I would go to pick a shirt, and then just for a split second I would wonder, maybe I should wear that one. And I would stand there filled with guilt, frustration, torment, saying, Holy Spirit, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. I would be with my friends and I would feel, I need to go read my Bible right now. I have to go read my Bible right now. I can't be sitting here with people. Even in church, I can't be sitting here listening to a man of God preach. Powerful man of God told me the Holy Spirit will not interrupt himself. But I would go and I'd have to read. And then I wouldn't feel free from that guilt until I read at least 40 chapters. Because, oh, I'm walking in the Spirit. No, I wasn't. Religion. That becomes tormenting. That becomes affliction. That becomes bondage, really. That becomes a bondage in your life, constantly second-guessing every little move you make. The good news is that the Holy Spirit can work through these minor issues that we may think we have. So I used to torment myself, thinking I was hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't. I can't tell you how many times I've sat across from men and women of God who felt God was calling them to do something, only later to find He was not. Or people who get a different calling from God every other week. This week God called me to be an evangelist. The next week, well, I'm going to do food distribution. The next week, I'm going to start an orphanage. And the next week, now I'm a prophet. God does not change His mind so easily. God is not going in heaven, okay, this week you're an evangelist, and this week you're a prophet. Next week we'll see. Maybe we'll put you on the worship team. But people become tormented by these things. Restless even. You know why you're restless? You know why you're tormented? Because you're relying on your ability to hear the Holy Spirit rather than the Holy Spirit's ability to speak to you. You're trying to do it in your own strength, and it's religion. So understanding how the Holy Spirit speaks is the crucial key to true discernment. Otherwise, you're going to go with what you want. You're going to go with your preferences. You're going to go with what you've always been taught. And you're going to say that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to double down on that. And then you're going to be stuck in the bondage of deception. Because it's easier to convince someone that to change their mind the first time than the second time. It's very hard for people to admit that they were wrong. It's very hard for people to admit that they've been fooled. It's easier to fool someone than it is to convince them that they've been fooled. That's a fact. It is easier to convince someone or to fool someone than it is to convince them that they've been fooled. So, how does the Holy Spirit speak? Well, it comes back to the Word. Number one, and this is a sub-point now. I did number one, understand the Word. Number two, know the authority of God's Word and submit to it. Now I'm on the third main point, but this third main point has four keys to it. So, how does the Holy Spirit speak? Number one is the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, we just read it. But here we see that it corrects us when we are wrong, teaches us to do what is right. So, it guides us in the way, and also tells us what is not the way. That's twofold. You want a word from God? Open your Bible. You want sharper discernment? Open your Bible. You want to experience the glory? Open your Bible. The Word is the key. If you're serious about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, you'll be serious about reading the Bible. Now, the Bible, the Word, is the most clear way the Holy Spirit will speak. It is the more sure word of prophecy. The Word of God is the most accurate, most reliable way to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You start there. The problem is that people want to start with other things. They want to hear God through dreams before they hear Him in the Word. They want to hear God through prophecy before they hear Him in the Word. They want to hear God whisper to their heart before they hear Him in the Word. The problem is, if you start with your heart, you will be in error. That's why you have to start with the Word. So you begin in the Word. That is the primary way the Holy Spirit speaks. The second way the Holy Spirit speaks is through wisdom. This inner guiding, this inner pool that comes. The Word strengthens you in wisdom, and wisdom helps you to navigate day-to-day operations of your life, in your marriage, with your children, on the job, in your business, in your school. If you lack the Word, you will lack wisdom. If your life is rooted on the Word, wisdom will follow. I don't wake up every morning and have the Holy Spirit speak specifically everything I'm going to do that day. When I go into a board meeting with ministry board members, when I'm meeting with the television team, when I'm meeting with the worship team, when I'm meeting with the finance, whoever I'm meeting with, it doesn't matter. It's the wisdom of the Spirit. I don't stop the board meeting and say, let's sit here for an hour till the Holy Spirit whispers directly to my heart about every decision. You know, nothing would ever get done. Nothing would ever get done if you were constantly waiting for that very specific, clear instruction from the Holy Spirit on everything. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But you must understand that first the Holy Spirit speaks to the Word, and then He guides your life through wisdom. You will have this inner knowing. It won't be that clear sentence from the Holy Spirit. He's not going to speak actual words to you. There will just be this knowing, this guiding that comes from wisdom. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. After the Word, wisdom is the most reliable means by which God speaks. Think of Solomon. Think of how the Scripture says that wisdom crieth. It's not so much a sentence spoken as it is a sense felt. We wait for those specific sentences whispered to our heart. And because of that, we get stuck. Or we get caught up in legalism. What jacket is the Holy Spirit going to tell me to wear? What car should I buy, Holy Spirit? Which apartment should I live in, Holy Spirit? That can become tormenting, because if you miss it and you think that missing those details completely derails the call of God, well, guess what? You're eventually going to derail the entire call of God, if that's how you see it. Because who among us is perfect enough to get it every single time like that? And if we do get it every single time, it's because we took really, really, really long to hear it. nothing would ever get done. No ministry would ever grow. You would never advance in your walk with God. You would be stuck waiting for every single move. Know the word. Please hear me. If I say it once, I'll say it 1,000 more times. The word, the word, the word. After the word comes wisdom. Wisdom is not as reliable as the word, but it's still more reliable than number three, the whisper. So first he speaks through the word. Then he'll speak through wisdom. And number three, he'll speak through the whisper. Now, this one is difficult to navigate because this is the means that the Holy Spirit speaks that is interfered with by your emotions and your own thoughts. Your emotions will interfere with the whisper. How you're feeling that day will interfere with the whisper. The whisper now is that specific instruction. And I've received those specific instructions. When Jess and I first got married, we had a discussion about a particular issue. It was nothing major. You know, when you get married, you start to learn each other's flow in life. And we were just starting to learn about her schedule, my schedule, her routine, my routine, and making those one. So we had this discussion, and I didn't think anything of it. I left the conversation. You know, sometimes we're a little clueless, we husbands. I left the conversation thinking, okay, it's fixed now. We're good. We fixed the issue. Boy, did I lack wisdom. I said, okay, I solved it. You know, I did it like 1, 2, 3 intellectually. Okay, if this, then that. Okay, we solved it. We're done. And, you know, I went on with my day. I'm praying, but I'm just feeling this, like, disruption. You know, husbands are the ones that Scripture describes as having their prayers interrupted if there's an issue with the wife. God doesn't put that on the wife, though. It's the husbands whose prayers are interrupted. That's what the Bible says. And so I'm trying to pray, and I just can't find. I'm like, what is going on, Lord? Like, and then the Holy Spirit very specifically, not the word, because mine and Jess's discussion is not in the Bible. Not wisdom, because it's not something you would necessarily know right off the bat. But a specific whisper to my heart. The Holy Spirit said to me, do you remember that conversation you had with your wife yesterday? I said, yes. Holy Spirit said, you hurt her feelings. And I'm trying to think, how? You know how we are. Scratching my head, I'm going through it. I couldn't even place it. And the Holy Spirit just said, it wasn't anything specific that you said. It was the way it was committed. It was very just not personal, not just very one technical. Like, I'm very robotic with those things. And so I went to Jessica. I said, Jess, about the conversation we had yesterday, were your feelings hurt? And she said, yes, I was a little bothered with that. And so I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come across that way. I'll work on that. She told me when we got married, she says, you're like a robot and I'm teaching you to love. And so I apologize. And she says, you know, it's funny. I didn't want to nag you about that. I didn't want to throw it in your face. She said, so I just went and talked to God about it. She said, I told him, he told you, and now you're apologizing to me. That is the whisper. That's the whisper. So there are those who say, if the Bible says it, we don't need it spoken to our hearts. And if the Bible doesn't say it, then it shouldn't be spoken to our hearts. And I understand that logic. The problem is it doesn't take into account the specific instructions that we need from the Holy Spirit. Day-to-day living. And I'm not talking about what color jacket you choose to wear that day. I'm talking about very specific instructions from the Holy Spirit that matter and that He's actually speaking to you. That comes through the whisper. So the word is your foundation. Wisdom is the secondary way you hear and discern the Holy Spirit. And third is the whisper. That's the specific instruction to your life. Now, if you try to reverse that, and you try to live by the whisper, you're going to end up in legalism and confusion and mental anguish, I promise you. This is why you have to primarily be guided by the Word, fundamentally be guided by the Word, and superficially guided by the whisper. Number four, the Holy Spirit speaks through wonders. Prophets, visions, dreams, miracles, signs. Don't base your life on a prophetic word someone gave you. I believe in prophecy. We have wonderful prophets of God tonight. They will even tell you. Do not base your whole life on a prophecy. I can't tell you how many Christians I've counseled who lived in torment for years because they couldn't understand a word a prophet gave to them. And they felt guilt, shame, frustration, confusion, because they were so obsessed with that word going, what am I missing? Oh my goodness, God is passing me by. Am I going to miss the call? And I tell them, maybe they were just wrong. Maybe they just missed it. Doesn't mean they're a false prophet. I can do a separate study on that. A false prophet is not a wrong prophet. I can show you scripture on that. But you know, we honor the gift, but we don't base our lives on it. We base our lives on the Word. Now, as I said, we believe in the prophetic. We believe in prophecy. We brought some highly anointed prophetic people here tonight, and they will tell you exactly what I'm telling you. And we believe the Holy Spirit will speak. It's going to be a wonderful time. You're going to be left going, how did they know that? But first, the Word. And once you know how the Holy Spirit speaks, then you can discern, and this is my final point, between the spirit, the satanic, and the secular. Any idea or thought or occurrence can be categorized under the spirit, the satanic, or the secular. Now, not everything that is bad is satanic. Sometimes those bad things can be categorized as secular. I promise you, when people leave churches, most of them are not leaving to go do animal sacrifices. We're not losing a majority of our people to devil worship. We lose them to baseball games. We lose them to fishing. We lose them to Netflix. Secular distractions. Now, not everything that is secular is detrimental. This microphone is secular. This stage is secular. These lights are secular. They are not evil unto themselves. So the secular is difficult to navigate. Which brings questions like, should Christians listen to secular music and so forth? And that's a whole different sermon. My point is just that the secular sometimes is more difficult. There's more debate. There's more what people would call gray areas, though I don't necessarily believe in gray areas in every instance. This is where people will base their so-called discernment off of their minds and emotions. Spirit is easy to discern. Spirit aligns with the Word. Satanic will contradict the Word. Secular, it's this nuanced. Kind of does, kind of doesn't sometimes. That's why it's so difficult. Now, this is where problems are created. And this is where I really want to challenge you, people of God. It's when we start to get into our own minds and emotions and calling it the Holy Spirit that we get into trouble. As I mentioned earlier tonight, I love, one of my favorite things to do is to champion other ministries. And you've seen it on my social media. You've seen it on our broadcast. I'm constantly promoting other ministers and ministries. I recommend other ministers to you because that's what I believe we should be doing in the kingdom. It's about unity is so important to this ministry. Unity is so key. So I was working really hard for, I think it was like a year and a half almost, on getting one of my good friends onto a very popular television program, a Christian television program. Because I knew if we could get this guy on this TV program, their ministry would skyrocket and people would love it. I said it for years. That TV audience with this ministry, oh, it's match made in heaven. The audience would love them and their ministry would just explode. So I worked a while, constantly talking to the producers. You got to get this guy on. You got to get this guy on. I do this with a lot of my friends. I get a little annoying. I feel like sometimes I'm the evangelist agent. I get people into these different things. So I'm just pushing. You got to get this guy on. You got to get this guy on. Please, please, please. Your audience is going to love him. So finally, one day it happens. We make the connection. I had lunch with one of the heads of the program, and I said, "You got to get this." He said, "Okay, give me the name. We'll write it down." They wrote it down. They looked into it. And he got on the program. I was excited. So I'm watching the live stream premiere of this show on Facebook. Facebook is filled with Facebook theologians and keyboard warriors and computer prophets. And anyway, so I'm there watching all these comments. Most of them are great. They're going, "Oh man, this guy is anointed." I'm going, "Yep, yeah, he is. Oh man, this guy's speaking truth. Yep, that's what he does. He's very bold." So I'm just enjoying it. And wouldn't you have it? Someone commented, "Well, I don't really know. Something about this just doesn't sit right in my spirit." And then somebody else chimed in. "You know what? I could picture them like this. I was thinking the same thing." That's what they said. "I was thinking the same thing." And like three or four people jumped on that. "Me too." And you know what they said to each other? "This confirms that you were right." I was so mad. I felt like that. Now I felt like Elijah. I'm like, "Lord, can I call it down?" He said, "Just leave them. Leave them." Thankfully, they weren't too much of a distraction, but it happens. We had a lady here one time in this service. While I was taking the offering, ran up from the back, literally started trying to pull people out of the service. Because she says, "He just wants your money, he just wants your money." She's pulling them, pulling them, pulling them. So Patrick Jankowski, who we love, came and grabbed her and threw her out. This is after like five warnings. Didn't matter. Commented on Facebook, "Don't go there, they kick out old ladies." And then someone else, this lady whose kid was literally running back and forth screaming, who my staff had asked to go into the hallway. See, the kid is screaming. And they say, "Can you just go in the hallway till your kid comes down? Then you can come right back in." That's what the policy is here. She comments on that, "I know, because they kicked me out. They don't allow children in their services." And then a third person commented, "Oh man, I just started following this ministry and I was trying to figure out if it was real. Thanks guys, now I know." And these are supposedly acts of discernment. You know, you laugh because it's our ministry and you know our ministry. But my question is, who are you doing that to? How many wonderful servants of God and people of God and churches are we just believing stories about? You know, there's a lot of preachers you'll hear who are my friends that don't see eye to eye with in every doctrine with me. And I've had people write to me thinking that I'm going to celebrate it. They said, "I just heard your teaching on this, and I heard their teaching on that, and now I'm unfollowing them." I say, "Don't do that. Why would you do that? Because on one side issue, they disagreed." We're so dismissive with each other. And then we call it discernment when it's actually the flesh, suspicion, cynicism, and skepticism. And we blame the Holy Spirit for our undisciplined flesh. When people say this doesn't sit right with my spirit, what they actually mean is this isn't what I was taught. This isn't what I believe. I find it amazing that if someone gets up and boldly declares what you believe to be the truth, you say, my goodness, they're bold. But if someone else gets up and boldly believes what you don't believe to be the truth, you say, my goodness, they're arrogant. We are to judge, people of God, but we need to judge with righteous judgment. With the Word, by the Spirit. We take our own personal discomfort and we try to blame the Holy Spirit for it. Our own preferences. People of God, if you want to be truly discerning, you're going to have to set aside your preferences. Exchange the lens of how you were raised. Exchange the lens of your political ideology. Exchange the lens of your preferences and put on the lens of the Word. See it through the Word of God. See it through His Word. The gift of discernment is not the gift of criticism. The gift of discernment is not the gift of complaint. With all that's going on in the world, with all the chaos we're facing today, we need to be grounded on the Word, the Word. When you're grounded on the Word, it keeps you from wandering into bizarre doctrines. When you're grounded on the Word, it keeps you in line with heaven's authority. When you're grounded on the Word, it keeps you in unity. Saves your sanity. Father, open our spiritual eyes tonight. You want that? Just lift your hands and ask Him. Ask Him to open your spiritual eyes. You watching online, ask Him to open your spiritual eyes. Ask Him. Just write it in the comment section, whether you're watching live or whether you're watching a replay. Write those three words, open my eyes. Let that be your public response to this. Oh, Father. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We honor You. Oh, Father, help us humble ourselves before Your Word. Before Your Word. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Keep us from deception, Lord. Protect us. Keep us from deception. Focused on the person of Jesus. Would you all please stand with me in this room tonight? Everyone standing everywhere, please. Everyone standing. Hands lifted, please. Eyes closed. Simple act of surrender. Lay down your pride, preferences, all of those things. Put them at the feet of Jesus. Hands lifted, eyes closed now. Like a rough sea wind, Jesus.
Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe with me. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
So, Father, we ask, give us discernment, Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see as you see, to think as you think, to declare as you declare. Say it out loud. Say, Holy Spirit, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Now pray out loud in the Holy Ghost and give Him yourself. As I look across the room, I see tears streaming down people's faces. We're humbling ourselves before Him, aren't we? God, forgive us for the times we've been too gullible, and forgive us for the times we've been too critical. And help us to see everything through the way you see it. Through your word, through your word, through your word. By your Spirit. Take a moment. He's just doing a work in your hearts right now. He's doing a work in your hearts right now. Let's give it to Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Watching online, God's doing a work in you too. Whether you're watching live or on the replay, just surrender right now. Just surrender. Give Him your all. Let Him remove those scales from your eyes. Let Him soften your hard heart. Lord, give us true discernment. True discernment. Love you, Jesus.
Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father,
just a moment, I'm going to minister to those who need healing. Ishmael, stay with me, please. Please reverently be seated. There's a glory on this house right now. And in just a moment, I'm going to minister to the sick. And then, of course, afterwards, we're also going to release the prophetic voices, those whom God has gifted. Tonight, I'm asking you to give to this ministry so that the work can continue. I don't want to take too long. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to move mightily within the next few minutes here. But first, I need to say this. Please understand, your giving is not tied to your healing. The amount you give does not determine your likelihood of being healed. Whether you're wealthy or whether you're broke, Jesus can heal you tonight. He does not discriminate between rich and poor. But I do need to take an offering to support the work of this ministry. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 4 through 6 say this. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God, who does all things. Verse 6 of Ecclesiastes 11. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. For you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. You know, there's always a reason to not give. Our flesh will always find an excuse to not give. Whether we criticize the preacher, whether we excuse ourselves because of some circumstance that we're in, whatever we do, the flesh will often try to deceive us. And in Ecclesiastes, the scripture says that farmers who wait for perfect weather, they never plant. There's always going to be a bill to pay. There's always going to be something you're saving for. The media is always going to be talking about the next calamity. Calamities will come and the calamities will go. But God's provision is forever. God will keep you. We don't give to get. We give to give. We give because we love the gospel. But the problem is, many of us are held back by fear. We know what we want to do, and then we picture what's in our bank account. And then we imagine all the different things that are coming up. Well, the children need this, and the house needs that. My car needs this, and at my work they're cutting that, and so forth and so on. We are filled with fear about the future. But God is going to take care of you. Whether you give to this ministry or not, God is going to take care of you. Because He's your Father and He loves you. We don't give so that God takes care of us. We give because we know He's going to take care of us. And that liberates us to be generous. For those of you watching online, I'm asking for your help too. I'm not saying that there's a magic number that you're going to give tonight that's going to solve all your problems. I'm not saying that everyone here is going to be a millionaire. I'm simply saying the ministry has needs. The ministry is growing strong. And I can't give too much away now. But on Monday, we finalize something that I'm going to be talking to the partners about very soon. Very exciting news. I want the partners to be the first to know, and then we'll make it public. But There's some big things we're stepping into. In the middle of everything that's happening, this ministry is growing. And that's because God is taking care of it. There's favor because God is taking care of it. The ministry has no debt. The ministry has a surplus almost every month. And we're using that to grow more and more and more. Multiplication is what's happening right now. That's because of God's favor, and that's because of your generosity. So thank you. But you know, when you give to this ministry, all I can promise, because I can't promise what God will do, He will bless you, yeah. He'll promote you, yeah. He'll bless your business. And all. I can't tell you how. I can't be ultra specific and say, for an $888 seed in 8 days, you're going to have eightfold blessings. I don't know. That's all gimmicks. I don't use that. All I can tell you, people of God, is I know you love Jesus. I know you love souls. I know you believe in this ministry. All I can tell you is that whatever you give to this ministry will be handled with care. And we're going to maximize every dollar that you put into the ministry to the highest efficiency, to the greatest excellence that we can possibly do. Every dollar you put in will be stretched for soul winning and for building the church, for building God's people. That's what I can promise. Now, to grow as a ministry. In a service like this, a crowd this size, this many people watching, we need the average gift to be between $25 to $50. Right in there. If everybody's able to do somewhere in that range, we're going to meet the need and then some. And especially those of you watching online, because you guys add a lot more than you think you do. We're like in the war to win this battle. And then those online are like the reinforcements. They just come in and give from all over the world. So be a part of this. And I'm asking you to give if you're able. Not in response to pressure, not out of guilt. I don't want anybody leaving this place feeling guilty tonight if you're unable to do that. Don't do that. That's the enemy. That's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. But I do want, if you are able, if you can, to help us by doing anywhere between 25 to 50. Even you watching online, if you can't do that, do something. Now, to those whom God has blessed a little more financially, we have a responsibility to give of our resources. There may be people in here, you can do far more than the $25 to $50. There are people here and watching online who can do the one-time gift of $1,000. There are people here tonight who can do even more than that. We've had people in these meetings give $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in one check. If that's you, if God has blessed you with resources, I'm here to tell you, this is good soil. This is a good investment. It's a good donation because we'll put it to use. So those of you watching online, go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate right now. Give a one-time gift. I need as many of you as possible to give between 25 and 50. And those who can, do the 100, the 500, the 1,000, or even more. The same applies to everyone here. Everyone do your absolute best. And that average I gave you is about what we need if we're going to cover the need for an event like this, and if we're going to have a surplus to do our work next month as well. I know you give because you love Jesus, so thank you. Ushers, if you would please come forward. We're going to hand everyone an envelope right now. Don't consider the weather, the economic weather. Don't worry. Worry chokes out generosity. Be free to give. Be free to give. The ushers are going to hand out a stack of envelopes to every section, and then they're going to pass those to you. The ushers are going to hand out a stack of envelopes to every section, then you're going to take one and pass it down. You can also go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate if you wish to not use an envelope. And those of you who are giving through the envelope, I do ask that you fill out your whole name, everything, and your address and your email. And as the old joke goes, please don't write in tongues, though we believe in the gifts of the Spirit and make it nice and neat and clear. Again, we need as many of you as possible to do between $25 and $50, as many of you here and as many of you online. If you can, do a gift of 100, do a gift of 500, do a gift of 1,000. There are a couple people in here who could even do those gifts of 10,000, those business people, those people who've done well financially. You have a responsibility to help the gospel move forward. And I'm asking you to give in proportion to how God has blessed you. Give in proportion to how God has blessed you. Do that today for the ministry. The gospel can go forward. I see many gifts coming in from online around the world. I see Martha and Chris and Wendy and Abigail and Susan and Victor and Nicole. And so many names coming in. It's hard to keep up here. Tina and Mitza and Tiffany and Sherry. God bless you all who are giving. God bless you all. And I see Leanne and Andrew and Norma and Evangelina. So many, so many names. God bless you all. Thank you so much for your support. Do that today, whether you're watching live or maybe you're watching a rebroadcast. By the time you watch this, this event will probably have been covered. But we are still doing events around the world. Unless Jesus comes, the rapture happens. But if you're watching this and we're gone, I don't know what to tell you. But turn to Jesus. But other than that, if we're still here on the earth doing the work, it means the work is still going forward. So please, you're watching a replay, still give and still give in that range because it'll help to cover other events. Are you guys seeing the growth online of the ministry? Isn't that awesome what the Holy Spirit is doing? We've now moved to conference centers. I don't know if you saw that. In Denver, we had to use a conference center. In Atlanta, Georgia, we had to use a conference center. Here in California, we're looking for somewhere. Don't worry. This won't be long. I mean, there's people sitting on the floor in the foyer on the back walls. And that's how you know it's revival, when people are sticking to the walls. Holy Spirit is moving. But the Holy Spirit is growing His ministry. And so as you give tonight, I'm giving you some time to fill out that envelope. But as you give tonight, just know it's going to a good work. And this ministry is growing fast, faster than it has ever grown before. And it's all because of the work of the Holy Spirit being done. Thank you for your generosity. Again, those with envelopes, make sure you fill out the entire envelope. Name, address, email, phone number, everything on the envelope so that we can put you in the system so that we can be in touch. Those of you giving online again, davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Every gift matters. You may be watching and saying, oh, someone else will do it. Every gift matters. Your little seed, you may see it as a small thing, can become a harvest of souls. And we thank you for your support. Thank you to Crystal and Sharon and Michael and Gia and Amanda and Isaiah and Joanna and Paul and Ingrid and Edwin and Kelsey and Benish and James. You watching online, thank you. Many people giving at davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Those of you who want to be in ministry, remember that everything we do reflects the gospel. So even when you take offerings, you want to do it with Holy Spirit class. The people of God don't need to be pressured or manipulated. They love Jesus. And they'll give as long as they know it's actually going to the gospel. So I want to thank all of you who are giving. God bless. In fact, how many monthly supporters do we have in this place? Would you just stand if you're a monthly supporter? Can we just hear it for our monthly partners? Thank you all so much. Thank you all so much. It means the world. You may be seated. I know you guys don't give for that, but I wanted to honor you there. Okay, looks like everyone's kind of settled in with their giving. Let's pray. We're going to pass the buckets. Then we're going to worship. And I'm going to pray for those of you who need healing in your body. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, your people aren't giving to get. And I thank you for their hearts for the gospel. I thank you that out of their hard-earned income, they are sacrificing for the sake of your word going forward. May their giving rise as a sweet fragrance to you, Lord, for it is an act of worship. And as we lay our resources at your feet, we pray that you would be pleased with us. Lord, bless the giver. Bless them exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or imagine. Let them never know a day of lack in the name of Jesus. Meet every need. Fund every kingdom vision. Break the power of debt over their lives. Touch everyone here in person and watching online. Bless them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. As the buckets pass, you can put your envelopes in. Can we all just stand? The healing power of God is going to begin to flow right now. You watching online, get ready. The power that manifests here will touch you right where you are. It's the same power, the same power. If we could also please remove the donation slide from the screens. We need to switch the focus now. Hands lifted, eyes closed. Eyes on Jesus now. Eyes on Jesus now. Everyone just begin praying the Holy Ghost out loud, boldly. Father, we thank you for your glory. And I thank you in advance for the power that's about to manifest in this room. I thank you, Father, that like electricity, the power of the Holy Ghost is going to sweep across this room. Through those cameras, touching even those watching online, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. I thank you. Hands lifted now as we sing, we exalt thee.
For we exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh.
Lift your hands and tell them, church.
We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord.
Make it personal tonight. Jesus.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord.
One more time with every voice lifted, I exalt thee.
You're the Lamb.
Steve, you are Alpha.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be.
Him tonight, we give you all the glory.
We give you all. We
make it a declaration. You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship our Lord. You
He's so holy, church. He's so holy. Lift your hands and just worship Him. Just worship Him now. Our eyes fixed on Jesus, the Holy One, glorious. Many of you are having an encounter with the Holy Spirit now. Many of you here present, and many of you watching online. Just surrender to that work He's doing now. Fountains of heaven are running, overflowing. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water flowing. Drink from that river now. Drink from that river now. Let your worship join that chorus of heaven. In your own words now, as the Spirit inspires you, I want you just to begin to make declarations of worship and adoration. Lift your voices now, church. Tell him. He's been waiting to hear from you. He's been waiting to hear from you. This is for you, Jesus. Those words you speak put a smile on His face. He's lended His ear to you. His focus is on you. Scripture says that He loves you with an everlasting love. Would you just love Him back right now, church, and begin to make those declarations? Voices lifted now. Begin to declare the goodness of God. Begin to declare who He is to you. Jesus, we love You. We honor You. You're holy. You're righteous. You're glorious. Magnificent One. Something is happening here, church, as we worship the living God. Something is happening here as we worship the living God. And if you don't know what to say, just pray out loud in the Holy Ghost. Give Him your worship. Give Him your all. Lord, receive this. Receive this. We love You, Lord. I want you to write it in the comment section, those of you watching online, live or replay. Just write in the comment section those declarations of who He is.
Holy.
Now lift your hands, church. The King is here. The King of glory is here. Your healer is here. We're going to pray by faith now. Ask Him to heal you. Ask Him to heal you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands in faith toward your people. And Father, I declare that sickness has lost its power. Sickness has lost its power. Cancer, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Cancer, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We break your power. Thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. Thank you, Lord. Under an open heaven now, church. That's what you sense. That's what you're feeling. It's the presence of Jesus. He's here. He's here. Lord, lay your hand on them. Let them be released from their suffering, I pray. Jesus, we thank you that you've come to destroy the works of the devil. We thank you that you've come to destroy the works of the devil. And we pray that sickness would be destroyed in this house tonight. Receive your healing now. Eyes be healed. Ears be healed. Dental issues be healed. Spines come into alignment right now, I command you. Come into perfect alignment. Tumors go. Growths and goiters, we rebuke you now in the name of Jesus. Skin disease, we rebuke you. Heart disease, we rebuke you. We, the Church of the Living God, pray now that every organ would function properly. That every nerve would come alive. Paralysis be healed. Necks be healed. Shoulders be healed. Arms be healed. Legs be healed. Someone's receiving their healing right now. If you just receive it by faith. Someone is receiving their healing right now. Right now, right now. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. That growth is going. That skin is clearing. That pain is leaving. All around your body. All throughout your body. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. What I want you to do by faith right this moment, because the power of God is moving, I want you to check for that sickness. If there was pain when you moved a certain way, right this very second, look for that pain. If there was a growth anywhere on your body, check for that growth. If there was an issue with your eyes, check your eyes. With your ears, check your ears. Every pain, every disease, every sickness, every deformity, check it now. Check your skin. I believe skin is clearing. Check for the growth. Check for the pain in your knees and in your feet and in your legs and in your arms. God is healing all sorts of things. Miracles are happening all over the room. And miracles are happening online right now. If you believe God has healed you, would you just wave at me, please? If you believe God has healed you, wave nice and big. Look at that all around the room, church. Look at that, church. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for this? Listen. If you just waved at me and you believe that you've been healed, I'm going to ask you to do something that may make you a little bit nervous, but that's okay. Sometimes the Lord asks us to step out in faith, doesn't He? If you've been healed in your body and you know it, just like those that waved at me, then I want you to come out of your seat right now and come and line up right where they're waving you down over here. Come now. It's okay. You can come now. Let's give them a hand as they come in boldness and faith. Come now from every direction. Look at all these people coming. This is God's power. Large or small miracles. You know, sometimes we don't realize how big of a deal a miracle is to others. When we were in Atlanta, Georgia just recently, how crazy was that? You've got to check out the live stream from the second night of Atlanta. There was a boy who came up who was born colorblind. And his eyes were closed during the worship. And then he opened his eyes to see all sorts of new colors that he had never seen before. It's on our channel. You should check it out. And he testified of the Lord healing him. It was powerful. So when it's the Lord, you never know what kind of miracles we're going to see. And then I know Sergio and then Matt, if you could also help us, thank you. By the way, my friend Joshua Kelly is here. Good to see you, my friend. God bless you. You can all take your seats now. How many of you are looking forward to seeing what the Lord has done here? Okay, you online too. If God healed you, testify. Just write it in the comment section. I actually can see what you're doing here. I look down every now and then. And now my battery's about to die. But it's okay because I'm in contact with you. What a wonderful God we serve. Just take a moment. Jesus, we promise that every miracle will be to your glory. Every miracle we see, we will remember who did it. Thank you for your healing hands. We love you, Lord. Tell them that. Just say, we love you, Jesus. Okay, Sergio, what happened here?
Diga, this is Amanda. For the last 3 months, she's been having pain on her shoulder. She dislocated it while she was coaching. And she said the whole time being here, she felt the presence of God and there's no more pain.
You tested it out during the worship or at another point in the service?
Always. I always felt the pain. So yeah. And I'm very body aware, so it's a big deal for me.
So what happened when the Lord healed you? What was it like?
Well, I just was focused on His presence the entire time, and it took having the boldness and the faith to say, I have the expectation and I believe that you will heal me. And I think just the expectation itself was a gift enough, so healing for my shoulder is even.
I can sense Him now. Isn't His presence awesome? It's beautiful. Lift your hands, close your eyes. Lord, let this sickness never return. Stretch your hands toward her. You know, as the night progresses, that healing anointing just intensifies. And there really is a presence here. And I pray, Lord, you would make it even more intense. We want to be swimming in it, Lord. Touch my sister, Lord. Let her sense your presence and power. Wash over her. Fill her to overflowing. And never let this sickness come back in the name of Jesus. Would you all just stretch your hands forward for a second? And pray, not just for me, pray for everyone on this platform. Pray that God would intensify that tangible touch on the room. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. You watching online too, pray that God would intensify that. Softly, Steve. Rejoicing, look at me. Go rejoicing in that. Jesus did it for you. To Him belongs the glory. What happened here, my friend?
David, this is Mark. He's had kidney pain for several years now. And he said, as you begin to pray, his pain went from a 6 to a 0 immediately.
A complete release. Completely.
What were you suffering with again?
It's a bad problem in my kidneys. And it just went away.
How long have you been dealing with that?
Off and on for about 2 years now.
2 years you've been suffering with that pain. How bad was the pain?
About a 6.
A 6 out of a 10?
Uh-huh.
And what's this mean to you that Jesus did this for you?
That He's so good. He's just, if you believe, and you truly seek His face and you trust in Him, He'll heal anything.
It's the Lord. Lift your hands, sir. Father, let your power touch this man. I thank you. Oh, I thank you for your healing touch on this man. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. There's something God wants to do tonight in all of us. And I do sense that we're standing under an open heaven. I'm feeling the weight of it just beginning to intensify. What happened here, Matt?
David, this woman for years had bad vision in her right eye. She couldn't see the way she sees in her left eye. And she says, before you even prayed, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon her. And now she can see vibrant colors, and it's the same as a left eye.
Everything just looks so much clearer, like bright, like just...
And what was that like as you were worshiping the Lord?
It felt pretty amazing, I will say.
And how long has this been a problem for you, the eye?
A few years now. And I have bad night vision. And so I just feel like I can see so much clearer now.
You can see much clearer out of that eye. Which one was the good eye? Cover the good eye. Cover the good eye. Yeah. And tell me what's the difference now.
I could just see the same as in my left eye. Because my left eye had good vision and my right didn't. So now I could just see.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory for the healing anointing. Whoa! Bring her back here. What did you just feel go through you? She said, say it again.
I got a rush of electricity.
Do it again, Lord. I thank you for the healing anointing. Whoa, there it goes. It is like electricity. And this is the way people describe it in the meetings. You know, don't criticize what you don't understand. I can't explain to you why it's like electricity in these meetings. It just is. It just is. And if people will have the faith, they'll receive that touch. Sometimes we overthink things. We analyze things. But it's not in my touch, it's in His. Some watching say, well, is He pushing them? No. Trust me, a touch of my finger is not strong enough to throw someone backwards, I promise you. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. What happened here, Sergio?
Diga, this is Aida. She actually dislocated her tailbone 3 years ago and even came with pain. When you said to test out to see if the pain left, she said there was no more pain.
Show us. What were you telling me right now?
That it's... It feels like my tailbone went back into place. As you were mentioning the different things, I felt that it was working on my body.
And did you sense the presence of the Lord as He healed you? What was that like?
Amazing. I just feel grateful. Overwhelmed. I know I was supposed to be here because I've been away from Him. And I know He called me here today. So it's extra special.
He's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. The Bible says He is faithful even when we are not. You know, sometimes we come to the Lord. Let this be a lesson to you. Sometimes we come to Him thinking, I've been so far gone. I've been away from Him for so long. And just as the father ran toward the prodigal son when he saw him off in the distance, so our Heavenly Father runs to us. This woman came tonight with not just the weight of her pain physically, but with the weight on her conscience, knowing that she was distant from the Lord. And just like the prodigal son, sometimes we say our apologies and we give our speeches and the Lord doesn't even hear that. He just reached down and healed her. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does.
David, this is Geraldine. She's had a constant cough for almost a month now. She couldn't sing, she couldn't talk without coughing. Tonight, as she began to worship, she has not had one cough and has sang and sang and sang.
Taking her breath again. And that would normally cause you to cough? Or were you just coughing out of nowhere?
Just coughing when I'm trying to sing. but now I sing. I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Receive it all. Receive it all. There it goes. She's like jolting backwards. I love it. What are you feeling on you right now? She's in a different place. Well, you go rejoicing in your miracle. God bless you. Matthew, my friend, what happened?
David, this woman does street ministry, and she was praying for people all last weekend to get healed, and they were receiving healing, and the devil attacks her. She's been having bad pain in her wrist from a pinched nerve, and as she was worshiping, she said the fire of the Holy Spirit hit her arm, and now she can move it and do what she couldn't do before.
Show us.
Praise the Lord. His hand is going to praise the Lord. Yes.
How bad was the pain?
It was really bad. I could not even move it or anything. It was just disabled since Friday night. Yeah.
What did you feel come on you as the Lord was healing you?
What? Oh yeah, it was just the heat of the presence of the Lord was just overwhelming. Yeah.
What was that like?
Just really intimacy with the Lord. It was just like really personal. I think it's, and I realized that as much as we do street ministry, He also wants to meet us personally as we're serving the Lord, and it was just really different. Just to realize He also is caring for me and my pain, you know.
Lord bless her ministry in the name of Jesus. Ooh. You guys have been praying. I can sense it. Lord bless her ministry. Let her walk away today.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by SpiritNerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with SpiritNerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.